Thank you, Barry, for those songs, a lot of them about Jesus in the garden. Even that last song we sang, is it I will be done. We join our Lord in that garden when we, in our moments of challenge or difficulty, accept what life throws at us, safe, and the assurance that through our faith in our God, that He will, through Jesus, who suffered in that garden, who suffered on the cross, that He will, through Jesus, deliver us. And so, with confidence, we say, Lord, as Thou wilt. Beautiful prayer, beautiful song. This morning, for a few moments, I want to talk to you about a passage in Proverbs chapter 23. It has these words in it: buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Let's read the verse together. Proverbs 23:23. Buy truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The whole book of Proverbs is a book about obtaining wisdom, obtaining understanding. And it starts at the very, very beginning with this same kind of admonition in a way. It says, you need to get this stuff. You need it. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Or in, as it says in this verse, get truth. Buy it. Acquire it. Good advice. And it's most needful in the realm of religion, and of course that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. But it appears to me more and more crucial in our world, in our society, and even in our family life, to understand the wisdom of what this verse is saying. Buy wisdom, buy understanding, buy the truth, buy it, and don't give it up. It appears to me that this statement implies a lot of things. It implies, first of all, that there is such a thing as truth. And that's crucial, that's important. There's been a lot of discussion in the political and social world of our society to the effect that we are living in a post-truth world. That we can't agree on what the truth is anymore. And so what is more important than the truth is one's goals or agenda. And if your goal or your agenda is worthwhile or noble or you think it is, then the truth is something that you can bend or manipulate or hide or obfuscate or even deny, as long as it helps you to achieve your goal or your agenda, whether it's a social goal or a political goal. Then everything becomes subverted to the goal, to the agenda, including the truth. And that's disturbing. Because without the truth, we're lost. And that is certainly the case with respect to religion, to moral truth, spiritual truth. You've got to have it. You need it. Got to have the truth. It's valuable. It has value. Anytime someone says, well, you got to buy it, you got to pay for it, that means it's going to take some sacrifice. It has value. And why should you buy it? Why should you make a sacrifice? Because the value of it exceeds what you have to give up to get it. That's the reason we make any exchange. We perceive, we judge an item to be worth more to us than what we're paying for it. I want that. I want that more than the money that I'm giving for it. In the case of the truth, it's very valuable. We need it. We need it desperately. And we appreciate that with respect to advice or information that someone gives to us about a solution to a problem that we have. We talk about a problem. I have a health problem. I have a car problem. I have an electronics problem. I have a problem. I have a computer problem. And we talk about a problem. Someone says, you need this program. You need this tool. You need this medicine. You need this bit of information. You need this. Go out and get you some. It helped me. It solved my problem. It made my life easier. You go get it because you need it. It's valuable. It'll help. Well, the truth is like that. It's valuable. We need it. We've got to have it. It exists. It's there. The Bible talks about truth. Word truth or true or some various form of it occurs hundreds of times in the Bible. The Bible is all about the truth, and it exists, and you can have it, and you really do need it. You need to get you some. You need it. But it also implies that you don't automatically have it. Somebody says, you need to get you a nose. Well, I already got one. It's not very good one. I got one. Or, you know, you need to get you some hair. Well, I still have some hair. But the truth, you don't automatically have that. That's why the Proverbs is telling you to get you some, because you don't automatically have it. You're not born with it. Your body doesn't make it. I've got high cholesterol. Doctor wants me to take medication. I don't want to take the medication. So what if I just stop eating all the stuff that has cholesterol in it? Says it doesn't do you any good. Your body still makes it. Just like the cholesterol in that steak that you eat. That cow made his cholesterol. You make yours. Got it automatically. Nothing you can do about it except take this medication. It kind of takes care of the problem a little bit. Well, you don't automatically have the truth. You don't. Now, a lot of people think they do. They think just because they have an opinion about something, or they have a think so, or they, you know, they've thought about it a little bit, or somebody just handed them something and said, here, this is the truth, and they've got it, and they just assume that they have it. They don't. You don't automatically have it. By the truth means that you don't automatically have it. And that's not just me, that's not just you, that's everybody. Everybody has the same problem. The truth is out there, it exists, we need it, we want it, it's valuable, but it's not automatically a given that you've got it. Also, it costs something. It does. The truth costs something. It is not free. Air is free. Didn't cost me a thing. The truth, it's going to cost you. If you want it, you're going to have to pay for it. I'm going to talk about that next week. You know, it's a classic tool of salesmanship is that first you get the desire and then you set the hook with the price. It's so frustrating. You go to a used car lot and you look at the cars, they don't have the price on them. How do I know whether I want this or not? Well, you know, let's talk about, you know, they want to size you up, see how much they think you're worth. they want to talk you into the sell before they tell you how much it's going to cost you. Well, I'm not trying to manipulate or anything. I want you to see what you're getting first. And then we'll talk about the cost. But there is definitely a cost to the truth. And not everybody is willing to pay it. That's clearly part of this advice as well. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Well, why are you telling me that? Because you you might not do it. A lot of people don't. A lot of people are unwilling to pay the price for the truth. One of the reasons for that is they think they already have it. I don't need that, I've already got one. Well, no, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't have that after all. Maybe you never really looked at what you have to determine whether it's the truth or not, and that means you haven't spent what it takes. You haven't paid for it. You haven't paid for the truth that you think you have, and so you don't have it. Not everybody is willing to pay the price for truth. See how much I got out of those few words? You know, I could get more too, but we'll leave it at that. There is such a thing as truth. It's valuable. We need it. We don't necessarily have it. You got to buy it. Not everybody's willing to do that. Now, let's talk about these 3 points for the rest of the sermon this morning. Let's talk about these 3 points that there is a truth. You know, we want and need the truth in everyday life. When it comes to so many things in life, we don't say we're in a post-truth world. We know that there is such a thing as truth in many different areas and walks of life, and we know that it's there and can be had, and we want it. There's no question about that. For instance, when it comes to relationships, we know that sometimes people tell us the truth, and that's good, and that builds trust, that builds, you know, a connection with somebody because they're being honest and straight with us. And we know that sometimes people lie to us. They don't tell us the truth. And that destroys relationships. You don't trust that person. You don't know whether they can believe anything they say. One of the joys I've had in life is telling my wife and my children things that aren't true. It's perverse, I know. I'm not talking about it in any kind of meaningful way. I'm talking about I make stuff up. You know, I make up some kind of crazy story, you know, and I put enough information in there and enough, you know, seeming logic behind it that they kind of buy into it. Oh, that's weird. That's fascinating. And then I say, you really believe that? You know, oh, I got you. It's not true. But here's the real kicker. Every once in a while, I'll tell them something crazy that is true. And they say, oh, that's not true. And then I look it up online. I show it to them. See? Well, that's probably not the best habit or hobby for a preacher, but when it comes to relationships, relationships are based on honesty, the truth. And when you find out that your spouse has some secret thing going on and they're not telling you, when they said that they were at this place but you found out they were at this other place, when they say they're with this person but you find out they're with this person, you know, when that kind of thing happens, then that destroys relationships. We understand that, don't we? We want the truth from people. We want people to tell us the truth. None of this post-truth. Don't give me that. Tell me the truth. Be honest with me. We want a true account of what happened. Just tell me what happened. When people lie about what happened, and you were there, you pipe up right away. That's not true. That is not what happened. Why do we do that? Because we understand that we can't have a meaningful discussion about anything if we can't be honest and tell the truth about what actually happened. What kind of agenda can you pursue in politics or in government or in society by lying and not being honest and not saying what the truth is? And that's not going to build anything. You can't build agreement between people based on a lie. It's a false. It's a false starter. You know, we understand that we want the truth in court. What you do when you testify in court is they make you swear, or at least to affirm, that I will tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Why? Because the jury can't decide, the judge can't decide, you can't figure out what actually happened, who's innocent, who's guilty, unless you have the truth. And when you lie in court, that's not acceptable. When you go to your doctor and you've got a problem, you want the right diagnosis. You want the truth. You don't want him to lie to you. I mean, you're paying the guy. You're paying him to tell you the truth. And if you've got a serious problem, you don't want him to cover it up or to keep it from you or to say, make you feel better about yourself by telling you you're okay when you're not okay. You don't want that. Nobody wants that. We want the truth. Because the truth is the only thing that's going to lead to a potential or possible cure, at least dealing with the problem that I have in the best possible way. A lie is not going to help me. Misinformation is not going to help me. We understand that. When it comes to the password or the passcode or the combination or the key to the door, you need the right one. I hate passwords more than passion. Because about the only person that they keep out of my stuff is me. I can't remember my password. What was my password? I can't remember. So frustrating. And someone says, oh, you know, here, this is the password. And I punch it in. No, it's not. That's not the right one. So frustrating. You got to have the right one. Right password. The truth. The true one. And directions. You know, you want the right directions. It is so frustrating when somebody gives you directions and it's the wrong direction. And even the electronics that we have, the GPSs, the, you know, Siri or whoever, you know, they're pretty good, but they're not infallible. And sometimes they just tell you the wrong stuff. That's so unhelpful. Now, if we know that, and we know it so well, it's so easy to grasp, that we need the truth, we need the right information, we don't need a lie, we don't need misinformation, we need the truth in practically every walk and area of life. We certainly need the truth in religion. Why do we suddenly think that we enter the realm of religion, that we're in a post-truth society? Because it's been a problem for a long time, I got to tell you, in the world of religion. People saying, well, your truth is your truth, my truth is not truth, and everybody has their own truth. That's not true. That's just nonsense. When we're talking about religion, we are talking about the most important things. We're talking about something that's more important than your legal status or your health or your passcode. We're talking about something that's going to affect your eternal soul. You need the truth, not a lie, not misinformation. You need the truth. You need it. You gotta have it. For instance, when it comes to worship, you don't think there's truth with respect to worship? Jesus says there is. John chapter 4, speaking to the woman at the well in Samaria, he said, but the hour is coming. John 4:23, the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. True worshipers, true worship, worship in truth. Now that means something. That's got to mean something. In that context, the woman at the well asked Jesus, now our ancestors told us to worship here on this mountain, Mount Gerizim. And Jesus told her, he says, that's not true. I mean, he told her, it's not true. And then he says, now here's the truth going forward. It's not going to matter anymore where you worship. It has, up to this point, Jesus says, and you guys were not doing it right. But going forward, it's not going to matter where you worship, but it's still going to matter that you worship in truth. You got to worship in spirit and truth. And anybody who tells you otherwise is not being straight with you. It matters how you worship. And there's some truth about worship you need to buy into. Knowing truth is free, Jesus says. Knowing the truth sets you free. Chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, there's some people who believed in Jesus, and Jesus addresses the people who believe in him. Now, keep this in mind, what Jesus is saying, these words to people who already believe in him. They have already accepted certain things about him. They've already bought into Jesus. And yet Jesus tells them this. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, it's so funny how often people quote this statement with respect to whatever worldly thing they're talking about. It could be politics, it could be justice, it could be social justice. I'm not saying that it's wrong to use this statement in those contexts, because it certainly has the concept, the wisdom of it certainly has application. As we've already seen, when it comes to every aspect of life, you need the truth. A lie is useless. More than that, it's destructive. But how much more when it comes to religion, when it comes to our relationship with God? You need the truth, because the truth will set you free. A lie will not set you free. A lie never set anybody free. From the thing that Jesus is talking about, go on to say, well, what are you talking about? We're not slaves. And Jesus says, you commit sin, you're a slave to sin. And the only thing that will free you from slavery to sin is the truth. And he says something here about how you get it that we'll talk about next week. But again, the same parameters that we began with, it shows that there is truth in religion. There is truth. We need it. It's valuable. We don't automatically have it. You got to buy it. And not everybody does. Because that's what the word if means right there. If you abide in my word, then you're truly disciples. But not everybody is, and not everybody does. Think about that. You got to have the truth. The truth will set you free. Truth will free you from sin, will free you from condemnation. It will, but you got to have it. Knowing the truth saves. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 4, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, you know, it's God's will. This is God's will. This is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And those aren't two separate things. Those are part and parcel of the same thing. God wants people to be saved. God wants people to know the truth. Because you've got to know the truth in order to be saved. And that's what God wants. God wants that. But not everybody does know the truth, and not everybody is saved. How about you? Furthermore, the true word sanctifies. This is something Jesus prayed on that evening. We talked at the beginning of the sermon about the songs that we sang about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is one of the things Jesus said. While he was facing death, facing torture, facing all of the cruel things that were about to happen to him, what is he doing? He's praying. He's praying for his own disciples and for us as well, because that's what he says there in John 17. I pray not only for these alone, but for all those who believe on me through their teaching. And that's you and me. He prays for us, and he says to the Father in that prayer, he says, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. To be sanctified means to be made holy, to be made pure, to be set apart. And that's exactly what I want. I want to be holy. I want to be set apart, because what that means is to be with God. To be with God is to be holy. And the only way you're ever going to be with God is to be made holy. And it's a tough thing to pull off, to be made holy, because starting out, I'm not so holy. But I want to be. Well, how can I accomplish that? How can that possibly be made to happen? In the truth. The truth can sanctify me. The truth can set me apart. The truth can make me holy. I need it. I've got to have it. And there again, Jesus, he feels necessary to throw this in. Where are you going to find the truth? In the Word of God. Let me tell you something. The closer you get to the Word of God, the closer you're getting to the truth. And the further you get away from the Word of God, the further you're getting away from the truth. And the more truth that you know, and the more truth that you practice, the closer you're getting to God. And the more truth that you ignore, and the more truth that you deny, and object to, and walk away from, the further and further you're getting away from God. And that's the way that works. And the truth is found in the Word of God. You need it, you got to have it. Romans chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul puts it this way. You got to obey the truth. Romans 2 and verse 8, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. He's talking about judgment. He's talking about the end of all things when we face God. And he says, you know, those people who don't obey the truth, they will be subject to God's wrath, God's punishment, God's judgment. Isn't that obvious? Again, all the parameters are there. You got to have the truth. You need the truth. The truth is valuable. Because you need to know what it is before you can obey it. And you got to obey it in order to avoid the wrath of God. But you don't automatically have it. You got to pay the price. Part of that price is implied right here. Those who they're selfishly ambitious. They got something going on in their life that's more important to them than the truth. And it's themselves. And they don't want to give it up. But the price that they pay for not paying the price for obeying the truth, knowing the truth and obeying, the price that they pay is God's wrath and indignation. That's the way that that works. Now, these last three points here. We don't automatically have it. It costs something. Not everybody is willing to pay. Think about it again in terms of this passage. If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. If you abide. It's not a sure thing. It's not a done deal. May happen, may not happen. In John 8 and verse 44, that same context, Jesus rebukes the Pharisees for not believing in him, for not accepting the things that he's saying, for not accepting the truth. And he says about them in John 8, 44, you are of your father, the devil. Now think about how harsh a thing that is to say, and yet it's true. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. You know, a lie is a weapon, and the first wielder of that weapon is the devil. And the devil told a lie, and the lie that he told is, you can eat this fruit and you will not die. And that was a lie. And Eve believed that lie, and she partook of it. And that was the first sin. And all of the sins that have happened since then, to the very ones that are happening right now today, to the very ones that I commit in my life, they're all buying into a lie. She thought, if I do this, it will be better for me, because the devil convinced her of that. It was a lie. Every sin is like that. Every sin that we commit, we think we're making a choice that is to our advantage, and it is a lie. And the only way to combat that lie is to know the truth. And how do you know the truth? You know the truth from the Word of God. And God tells you that's not good for you. In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And he's telling the truth. God tells you the truth. The devil lies. That's why it's important that we know the truth. And you don't automatically have it, because there's so many lies out there. And the devil, he has filled the world with lies. And he's saying, the reason that you guys don't accept the truth is because you're buying into the lies of the devil. And he says in verse 44 and 45, he says, when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. You understand that there is a source of truth. It is the Word of God. It is Jesus himself. He stood before Pilate and he says, for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Those who are of the truth, listen to me. And that old hard-hearted skeptic Pilate said, oh, what is truth? See, Pilate was a post-truth world kind of guy. You know, Pilate, oh, there was truth. And the truth was standing right in front of him. He didn't accept that truth. He acted out of political convenience. Again, what was his agenda? His agenda was to calm the crowd, get out of a political jam that he was in. So let's obfuscate the truth. Guy's not guilty, but who cares? Kill him anyway. Truth was standing right in front of him. He rejected the truth. And he embraced a lie because he found that lie to be convenient. And that's exactly what the devil wants all of us to do. It's exactly what the devil wants. He wants us to believe the lie, not the truth. Buy the truth. Don't sell it. Again, Romans chapter 1 and verse 24, 25. Therefore God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. We live in a society that's doing exactly the same thing today. They give into the cult of the body, the cult of lust, the cult of animal passions and desires, and they deny God, and they make an exchange. They exchange the truth for a lie. They don't automatically have the truth. They give it away. The truth that they have access to, they deny. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. Well, I'm going to stop there. And I'm just going to ask you some questions. Do you understand that there is religious truth, truth to be had, and you need it, but do you want it? Do you want the truth? Well, it's going to cost you, and I'll talk about that next week, if you really want it. Because I got to tell you, if you don't want it, you're not going to pay the price. It's going to be too costly. It's expensive. But it's worth it. And the truth that I want to share with you this morning is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died for your sins, and that if you will give your life to him and obey him, the truth of Jesus, he said, I came into the world to bear witness to the truth. He who's of the truth hears my voice. If you hear the truth of Jesus and you accept it, you want to embrace it, let me lay some truth on you. Jesus said, he that believes in me and is baptized shall be saved. Now that's the truth. Are you willing to pay the price to embrace that truth this morning? And if you are, come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.